You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 8, Episode 24, coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley in your company, great to be along with you. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. The two of us have taken in a lot of football over the last few days. There's a lot of big stories that are happening over the last couple of days. I don't know really where to start this week. Maguire is back. I know we talked about Keaton going down there last week, but the two boys playing in the first division, that's going to be some sight. We've had the controversial refereeing decisions over the weekend, particularly at Richmond Park. Dundalk booed off the pitch by their own supporters. We had the boring 0-0 last night. The only bit of drama came at the end between Higgins and Duff. But Gary, I think the biggest headline of the week might be the fact that you were outscored in the Predictions League by Kira Lennon last week.
Well, yeah, look, that shit happens. Was it bad, was it?
Oh, you had a shocker. 1 point is all you got.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a terror.
You said we were scraping the barrel when we got Kira on, but she made bits of you in the end.
Yeah. Oh, what did she get?
4. I got 5, so I don't think any of us can really put the chest out and pump it or anything like that. But yeah, look, we'll get to the Predictions League later on. But well done to Kira. We have a guest playing tonight as well, Sean Hyland of Shelburne. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to have to up our performances, I think. And yeah, look, there's a few teams, few teams in the league that need to up their performances. We'll get to that. As I said, you were at Richmond for the game on Sunday. You were in Tolka last night commentating for Drive 105. Well done. You did a great job. And were you somewhere else? Did you take in 3 games over there?
I did, yeah. No, I had a lot of couple of projects going on, so I had a very quiet bank holiday, so I just went to a few matches. Went to UCD on Friday.
Oh, she's just great, man. Yeah. So look, we'll go in order here. We'll do our Premier Division review to start. So we had games Friday, Sunday, Monday. So we'll go through them in that order. Start with the game I was at, because this is a big story in itself. Dundalk 0, Galway 2. Not the first time this season Galway have done a job on Dundalk. But I think I've been quite consistent on the show, probably since O'Donnell left, really. It hasn't been that I said I think Dundalk would be okay. It seemed to be going in the right direction. I could not believe how bad they were on Friday.
Yeah, I think we already highlighted the week before that the keeper looked a bit iffy.
Oh, yeah, he's a bit shocking.
Yeah. Whatever about the first goal, the second, like, you were at the game, like, did you find that he was there presence? Like, I only saw the highlights. Like, the first goal, he should have done better.
The first one's a shocker. I'll come to the second one in a minute, but the stuff in the highlights that you won't see as well, the amount of mistakes with the ball at his feet. He gave one away inside his own penalty area, and then I actually thought it could have been a penalty for Galway. He like, tries to rescue it by diving down with his arm, and I thought he caught the Galway man. The ball was played back, and they hit the crossbar from a couple of yards out. Like, Galway could have scored 5 or 6 on the night.
I saw the Walsh went down across him.
Yeah, and then
that was never
sure ran onto him. Right, well, he got into a situation where that easily could have been given because he was messing around in the box with it. His distribution was terrible. He just had an awful, awful night. And I actually, you came into my mind at one stage. I remember us talking about goalkeepers in the past where if they make one really bad mistake and their head's clearly gone, that you were talking to someone before that said they should just be took off.
A former League of Ireland keeper said that to me.
I think there was a real call for that on Friday. I think Goddard could have been took to one side. Yeah, hooked.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to see what happens going forward, because they had a young keeper in nets for a while and he did nothing wrong, and then they've brought Goddard in and it's almost like, well, we brought this lad in from England, we have to play him. So it'll be interesting to see what. I know Peter Cherry's come back, but what type of match fitness is Cherry going to have? I don't know, but they've got a big issue there now for next week. Goddard can't play. Simple as that. He cannot play. His confidence is shot.
And who's the subkeeper?
I can't remember who was on the bench tonight. That's what I'm saying. So Cherry's come back and he's signed up as a player.
He has signed up. He's actually registered as a player as well.
He's registered as a player as well. And then they have the young lad that was playing earlier in the season for a couple of games and did all right. So I would be all in favour of chucking him in, but then obviously people will say you're chucking a youngster into a relegation scrap, so it's just not a perfect situation.
Relegation dogfight.
even the second goal, you asked me about the second goal. I was looking back at it again today, the keeper is nowhere to be seen, but like I would have a much bigger issue with, first of all, I think it's McGill that comes on as a sub.
He gets
into an engagement two or three times with the Galway man, and he gets beaten by him two or three times. The cross comes in, Goddard's kind of glued to the front post, can't get back across in time. And then John Mountney, who's the captain, is at the back post, and he's pushed aside like a rag doll. And yeah, Mountney, he's been playing right back since Archie Davis left, and they look very weak in that position. I think Mountney is more effective higher up the pitch. He was dreadful. Now, look, probably said that about most of the Dundalk team on Friday. They all had very poor games, but Mountney in particular looked a real weak link in the team.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And with him coming back, like, there was a bit of like excitement that, you know, one of the guys are back. But he was injured for an extremely long time, wasn't he? And I think in the early part of the season he was doing commentary.
Yeah, when they should have been Sligo 5-0.
Was that it? You know, rightly so. He should have got a bit of a pumping himself, and he did get it. But I couldn't actually believe that occurred in the first place. But yeah, it was a very poor performance from Dundalk all in. I think though, while you had kind of bad games, some of them, as you highlighted with Goddard, the keeper was just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be hard to see how he can recover mentally.
And John Daly did an interview after the game, and he spoke about where, like, the focus shouldn't be just on Goddard. It wasn't him that cost the game, and that's right. Obviously, he made a mistake, or maybe two mistakes, and that's obviously played a big part. But, like, the players in front of him, the two centre-backs were Andy Boyle and Anna Mishune, They just looked so easy to turn. They looked so vulnerable. As I said, the two full-backs really struggled. You go into the midfield.
Stephen Walsh made it a very hard night for the centre back.
He did.
You know,
they just need to
be stronger. Like,
I was just going to say that they were totally out-muscled by Galway. Like, it was like men against boys at times. Like, they were bullied, and that's probably the second or third time I've said that this season about them playing Galway. I was at the first meeting earlier in the season when Dervin scored for Galway. I think it was 2-0 as well. But that night it could have been 5 or 6. That was under O'Donnell, and now we've seen green shoots of recovery under Daly, but that was a real setback for them the other night. And I think the bigger talking point, and people would have seen the clip on the Between the Stripes Twitter, was the fan reaction after the game. Like, so often down the years, Oriel Park's been the 12th man for Dundalk, and a section of the fan base booed them off the other night. They were chanting, "You're not fit to wear the shirt." There was words exchanged between Andy Boyle and a couple of the supporters. Like, if that sort of thing continues, that's obviously not going to be helpful to them getting out of the position they're in.
No, certainly not. It's not going to be. It's going to be very hard for them to get out of that position if that's what happens. Like, there's obviously big crowds up in Oriel, despite the state of it. And but like, when you're not showing up to games like that, like, even saw a couple of tweets, Galway fans saying that like Aidan Dervin didn't have a very good game at all, and they weren't, you know, disappointed to see that he's now left, which is a.
Oh, yeah, and I thought he was probably one of Dundalk's better players on the night, in all honesty. But as I said, there was very few that could walk off the pitch and say, "Yeah, I had a good game."
Yeah, no, and that's the point. Like, if there's only one lad that can be remotely satisfied with his performance, and you lose 2-0 at home, it's you're in a lot of trouble. Like, there is, there's about 10 games left now. You know, time to shit or get off the pot. Or Dundalk will be
and
down with
don't forget there. The last game is Drogheda against Dundalk in Weavers Park. You don't want, as a Dundalk player, fan, manager, whoever, you don't want to be going into that game needing to win it.
No, you certainly do not.
That will have to kick off at 9 a.m. of a Sunday morning.
Yeah, because I think that Shells and Derry are playing in the last game of the season as well, aren't they? Did I make that up? I'll have to look at that. That could be tasty as well, but I think Shells will have it done by then. But anyway,
right, yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Drogheda 2, Bohemians 2. So that, obviously, that result coming through just heaped the pressure onto Dundalk. Both teams had chances that they left behind. I know Bohs fans felt that when they were ahead in the game that they could have killed it off. But towards the end, Drogheda missed some great chances. And again, how many times have we said it this season? Franz Perrault, he has the last kick of the game. He's in, 7-8 yards out in front of the goal, and he hits it straight at the goalkeeper. It's another big moment where you feel like if he scores that, it could be a huge turning point for him at Drogheda, but it just didn't happen. But still, it's still a good night at the office for Drogheda. They came from behind in this one, so to get a point and claw into that deficit on Dundalk, it's not a bad night at the office.
No, certainly not. And I think it was important that they didn't lose that game because, you know, Bows are no great shakes. There's no question about that. Like, they've scored so not that many goals. They've been so poor at the back. It's such a mix 'em, gather 'em, to me, to you job in so many positions on the Bows side. It's just hard to watch. Like, but I think for Drogheda, they've shown that they have a bit of steeliness going into this battle that they're going to have to pull themselves out of. But what a goal by Shane Farrell to start
it
off.
Oh, unbelievable, yeah. Top class.
An absolute bullet.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the penalty? Did you think that was a penalty?
I did watch this back. What was the incident?
A corner came in. Dennison.
Oh, Perot. Was it?
Perot on I can't remember who it was on. I thought it was very soft now, to be quite honest.
To be honest, I couldn't really see the contact or whatever, but the first thing that came into my mind was like they just need to stop bringing Perot back into his own box because I don't think that's the first time he's been involved in something like that. Like he's been sent off. Was up in Derry, he was sent off. He just seems to be a bit clumsy when he gets towards the halfway line and beyond. So I think they just need to keep him up on the penalty spot as much as possible.
I didn't see enough in it now for it to be a penalty, to be quite honest. But look,
to be honest though, I thought Dennison was poor for the two goals. I thought he was a bit weak with his punch there.
He could have been far more stronger, but for the fella hasn't played much football in the last 2 years. Like this will probably be the most football he's played at this level in that time, I'd say. Like, I don't think he even got a goal when Talbot was out with the team.
No, he got one Leinster Senior Cup game, I think. Cheraska made a brilliant save down the other end, though. Was it Foley? Did he?
Was it 2-2, was it? Or
yeah, he won, game? Yeah, made a brilliant save over his head. It was top class. So, it's a game. Again, I think both teams left maybe the 3 points behind them. You've seen more of Bows probably in the flesh than I have. Would you agree that... One of their big, I know you've touched on the back four there, but are they missing it? And I know they've brought Tierney back, but are they missing a number nine? Is that a big issue?
Yeah, no, it is a huge issue. Like you have a lot of lads, players in the midfield that, you know, Dawson Devoy is back.
Rooney.
Lots of, you know, movers Wiggers and shakers. Unknown to really just hammer it in. Like, it's very... I don't know. I think I saw a tweet. I won't not quote it, but I can't even just remember who said it. But it was kind of like, I think a striker scored one goal for Bows since April or something like that. It's a lot of lads coming up from attacking midfield and stuff like that, and that's just that's just not good enough. Like you need to have players in the forward line actually making hay for you. It's just not good enough. I think they're lacking a real cutting edge. I was complaining there about Devoy. I know it was his first game back for Bows in midfield, but it was just how quickly in a lot of cases, and my criticism is that it was too many cases. Where's the centre back? That's all he was looking for. Do you know what I mean? And like, you know, this kind of clip clopping around the place, you know what I mean? Rather than, you know, it was just very ineffective stuff. Now, we'll come on to other teams that are doing that type of shite very shortly, but I just didn't see enough from him. I know that was the first game back and that he had a game missed out, and I know that's under review tomorrow with the appeal from Shamrock Rovers. But I think it was... I'm not at all surprised that even though Bows went ahead, that they conceded again to draw the game. They're just not.
There's
nothing to Bows actually at the moment. Yeah, nothing. They're not inside.
I know we didn't really touch on it last week. The the cup eligibility issue? Where do you sit on that? Mm. Or is it something we should wait till?
It's done, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there was, it goes down to some rule about, like, it's down to the association to apply it to their own competitions because there's no direct comparison.
But arguably, isn't the Leinster Senior Cup the closest thing? Because the EFL trophy it starts in a group stage. Right. And, like, there's B teams in it or whatever. So we have a couple of Leinster Senior Cup or Leinster Senior League teams. I'm not saying they're B teams, but, like, there is a group stage at the start and then a knockout. I would argue.
But that's not under the FAI.
Yeah, but that's so there's but they're saying, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's the problem there. Fair enough. Yeah.
That's sorted.
But it, like, effectively, this is, Bose went through the right channels to check this.
Yeah, but like, no, and I understand that, but this is an appeal. This is an idea. We think you were wrong. Let's look at it again.
Mm.
I don't really have a problem, but I don't really care.
But, like, I suppose if the rule book is to be applied here and the FAI find, yeah, right, Rovers are correct here, then they're probably going to have to stick within the rule book and just give Rovers a 3-0 win. There's probably not much room for common sense here. The common sense approach, I suppose, would be a replay. Even though I don't know where on earth you'd jam that in now with Rovers in Europe, and
why would that be? No, if they're deemed that they fielded an ineligible player, then you lose.
Mm. But
and there's no. They
look for the advice from the FAI, and apparently the FAI said fire ahead. This is fine.
They said fire ahead. That's grand, 100%. And that's. But then someone else is going to come along and say, actually, no, we need to appeal that. Sure, you know, there's stuff is appealed all the time to a higher power.
It's a mess. It lies at the worst of the FAI, it would seem. Anyway, Waterford 1, Shamrock Rovers 2 down in the RSC on Friday night. Rovers digging this one out late with a bit of a deflected goal from Graham Burke. But I think...
thought that was very poor defending, that.
I was listening to LOI late night coming home from Oriel on Friday, and a good few Rovers fans rang in. They said they were totally in control of this game at 1-0, and then Leon Poles does what he did. Lets Waterford back in. And credit to Rovers, they
did dig it out. Would you be hard on Poles there?
Yeah, it would be extremely hard on him. He's in no man's
land. Yeah, he went into a place he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old saying goes, clean house or stay at home. I don't think that's the saying. I think I just made that up. But, like, he has to clean everything out in front of him, or he has to just stay where he is. If it's any doubt in his mind that he can't, you know, can't get to that ball.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't know. I think it might have been there for him to won or to win it. He didn't have enough conviction in murder when he did come out, which is where probably the main heap of criticism lies. Has Poles cost them that much this season?
I think he has. When you study it, like, overall, he's not to blame for their league position, but you can even see after the mistake is made, like, Cleary has the hands out and. You can just tell by the way players are looking at them. They're like, ah, Jesus, lad, come on.
Yeah, this fella's not cutting it.
Yeah
well, look.
It's a bit of nervousness around. Like, if you're, say, Cleary and you're going for a header, you're not sure where he is behind you. Is he coming to clatter into the back of you? If you're going for a back header, is he already off the line and it's going to go? You know what I mean? There's uncertainty.
There is, and I accept that. But I suppose there's only one real man at fault for that, and that's Stephen Bradley,
people have talked about this. Bradley's been in this position before. I mean, Bradley nearly lost his job at Rovers over bad goalkeepers.
Yeah, it's not working out.
To get back into this position again, where he seems to have been indecisive. You know, Manus is retiring. Oh, he's not retiring. And then he eventually retires, and Leon Poles is clearly not good enough. Is number two.
Yeah.
And we're led to believe that he took advice from Alan Manus. Like, I always say this, players are the last people that should be consulted on anything. Same with the Ireland job. The last people that should be asked about anything.
Yeah, no, nothing to do with him. Alan Manus, yeah, he's a great fella. Look, good result though for Shamrock Rovers to go ahead and get the winner. Really good finish from Graham Burke, even though he was helped at the deflection. But I thought, as I was saying there, I thought the defender was really poor. They didn't come out strongly enough to smother him.
I've seen a good few Waterford fans saying that was the first time in a long time, long gone to a back three. and that they felt there was a lot of uneasiness within the players that maybe weren't fully comfortable in that setup. So that might explain that. But look, we'll come back to Rovers in a minute because I'm going to ask you the big question that everyone's expecting. But we'll move on to another game you were at.
About Shamrock Rovers?
Hats 3, Sligo Rovers 2. Controversy in this one, obviously. So we'll start there. The penalty right at the end. Penalty or no penalty?
Well, first of all, their reaction has been insane and funny. particularly the statement from Sligo Rovers. Embarrassing stuff. But I can see why they feel hard done by. The angle from the LOI TV doesn't help you at all. Fortunately, I was down beside.
You're in the
Camac. I was in the Camac end, and I could see it. He probably pulled the jersey off him, let's say a foot off his back. Like it was a significant enough tug of the jersey. Turner knew he wasn't going to get at him for that, and horsed himself onto the ground. I'd say the linesman was speaking. Shouting into Rob Hennessy's ear through the headsets and whatever they have, and he was just going pen or whatever he was saying, and that's what I'd say happened, because it was very hard for Rob Hennessy, given the position he was in, very hard for him to see that. Turner made a complete show of himself doing it, but you know the it's often said that you don't get rewarded for trying to stay up on your feet. And then if you go down, you're likely to get something because it was contact there. There was contact here. Turner hocked himself to the ground. I unfortunately, and as a card-carrying ref hammerer, I don't think Rob Hennessy had the best game ever, but I don't think that was it.
So unfortunately I had a bad weekend again in terms of match selection. I was going to go over to Weavers Park for the Drogheda Bows game, and then I decided I'd go to Oria with herself, and it was a crap game of football, even though Galway played very well. Like, there was no football played, and it's incredible that when you're actually, Oria's one of the few pitches where I suppose you're pitch, like when I'm in front of the shed I stand pitch level, and it's only when you're pitch level you realise, Jesus Christ, the size of these Galway boys is outrageous. The likes of Borden there in the midfield, and a few other boys, Hickey and that, and the likes of that, they're like a bunch of man mountains, but like there was no football play. It's more like a rugby match. So I got that game wrong. I had intended watching this one Sunday, and then I ended up going to the cinema and the movie started late and I didn't get back home in time for the Pats Sligo game. And I seen 3-2 on the phone. I was like, oh no. And then obviously I watched the game last night and it was a shocker. So didn't have the most entertaining weekend in terms of football, but I obviously was coming home and I was looking at this and I seen the penalty, and like immediately I was like, oh my God, no. And then the more I've watched it over the last couple of days, you can see the jersey extend out. Yeah. So like, it's not one, like when you said the reaction, you look at the reaction, and I'm coming home in the car just looking at all the reaction quickly and looking at the clip every few seconds. And you're like thinking, like, he's just give this for no reason. This is a complete insane decision. But then when you see the grab of the jersey, like, there is justification for it. It's as soft as butter, as you said. Like,
it is very soft, yeah.
You'd be sickened that that's given against you. But the defender's taking a chance by grabbing his jersey when he...
Yeah, a total bollocks. What's he doing? Yeah. There's no advantage to doing that. That's what I don't understand. And like, that's where, you know, constantly people say that, oh, you get the ref a decision to make. He gave the ref a decision to make in a nothing, a very poor ball in.
But that ball's going out for a goal kick.
Yeah. And he got involved with something that shouldn't have occurred. And it's his own bloody fault. He was...
What about the first penalty, the Mulroney one? Was that a penalty for you?
Nah, well, I wouldn't have given that.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, I thought that was soft.
I haven't really watched that one back now, to be honest, because it's obviously the other ones garnered all the headlines. But
yeah, but I thought it was soft. I can see why he gave it as well, but we need to be... the refs... particularly in the last few weeks that I've seen, refs are really, really trying to turn this into a non-contact sport. Or who can shout the loudest? Whoever shouts the loudest, the other fella gets a yellow card and it's a free out or free.
Again, from a Sligo Rovers point of view, it's avoidable. I know Mulroney's quick and tricky, but he slips by his man very, very easily.
Yeah, he does. He does far too easily.
I think it was Keane that fed him the ball, though, wasn't it?
Sorry?
I think it was Keane that fed him the ball. I think Keane dropped
it. Yeah, it was a ball up by Kazim, and then Keane knocked it onto him. And, you know,
goal and an assist. Good debut.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Exactly everything that didn't happen for Rory Keane, I suppose, hitting the ground running.
Yeah, and he needed that. No, it was a penalty, to be fair, but like Keane was, like let's be to be clear about it, right? Sligo were the better team.
Right, okay.
There's no question about that. It was extremely poor play from Pats. I thought they were second best for all of the game, to be quite honest.
Jamie Lennon kind of gifted Sligo two goals, didn't he? I know, well, when I say gifted, like it's an unbelievable strike from Conor Malley, but Lennon gave the ball away cheaply, and he did it for another one, I think, too.
He did. But for the first one, right, he actually, if you look back on it, right, he is fed the ball, fed into him, and he's like, there's a lad behind me, so I can't go backwards. And I guarantee in his brain, he's thinking, now, bear in mind, I'm an ego on a podcast, and I'm going to tell you what another human being was thinking. But I imagine that he was thinking, oh God, I can't pass it back to one of the 10 players behind me. I can't pass it back to the keeper. No, I have to go forward. And I'm not supposed to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was this like, oh shit, I have to try and go forward now. What do I do? Mm. I can't pass it out to my left back because he gave it to me. I can't pass it to the centre back because there's a lad up me hole. I can't pass it out to the right back because there's another lad covering there. And it's just like pure, oh my God, like panic. And he gives a desperate pass into Malley. And he slots it into almost the top corner. Very good strike. Not under half enough pressure either.
Yeah,
should have been a far better reaction. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do feel for Sligo Rovers, believe it or not, not because of the penalty, because they were by far the better team, and they should have made more of the chances that they had and the dominance that they did have. McGinty be very disappointed for Brendan Cavan as equaliser.
Yeah, not like him.
But look, he's entitled to one of those.
Yeah.
From what he's put in this season, I will say one thing: El Bouzedi was savage.
Yeah, he looked good in the bits I see.
He was very good.
And one other last Thursday as well.
Yeah, one by I do want to highlight Hutchinson, for Sligo, the left back. He should have been hooked at maybe 25 minutes. Maybe, I know, we'll say halftime. That boy was gassing. I don't know how he lasted the game. He could barely walk. And then when El Bouzedi came on, it was like, how they needed to put way more lads on that side. Hutchinson was outclassed, outran, outwalked. It was brutal. It's stuff like that, like I said, in my estimation from watching it, wasn't picked up on by Sligo, and they should have like reacted to that better. I do feel for Sligo, like it was a soft penalty, but on the balance of the game, they were far better and deserved the 3 points, to be quite honest.
We'll move on to the big game from last night in a second. We're going to hear from Rory Higgins and Brian Maher on the show as well. But final discussion point on Pats for now. Obviously, Stephen Kenny looking for that game against Galway on Sunday to be called off. He's kind of, I think, called out a couple of people in the FAI really over it. What's your?
No, absolutely no sympathy whatsoever. You're like this idea, like bringing in all these players, all this money, and all this stuff, and we're playing in Europe, and we're, you know, trying to get up the league, and that's what you happens. Like, I'm killed saying this. You play a lot of matches. You're in Europe. You're going to faraway places. Already got games rearranged earlier on in the season. And then they shite to say that the FAI aren't supporting you. It's not just the FAI supporting you in facilitating all this and probably doing out the fixture list at the start of the season, to be fair to them, to facilitate European games and, you know, front-loading league games on a Monday night and stuff like that to get the games played, to give them more time to be doing this stuff. You know, that's part of life. That's what you're doing. Like, yeah, come down to the first division and play a game a week and then start your crying then. Like, he's totally wrong. I don't have a gram of sympathy for him whatsoever. It's just running in his mouth. Someone put the microphone in front of his face and they let him run on with whatever he wanted to say. No sympathy whatsoever.
I think he's completely wrong.
Okay, well, you're clear on that, so
you do sympathy for him, like, and actually, just what we're talking about, I think did he say so Crane about two flights over to Baku or something like that? Was that
yeah? There was the thing of what happened today, two flights. Yeah,
yeah. Well, a lot of people took two flights to plenty of games that he was managing for Ireland, and they got worse than shite back, particularly in that Greece game, which, as we said before, we'll never get over. Two flights over and two flights back. Look at that piss. Oh, the neck of him.
good to get it off your chest.
Yeah.
As I said, you were on comms last night for Drive 105 up in Derry. Well done. You got a late call up there, which was great to see. Unfortunately, not the most exciting game to commentate on in the end. What did you take away from it overall?
I could definitely feel there was a bit of like, oh, there's a big game on. You know, you got that kind of sense.
To be honest, I said all week long, and even when we were talking on the podcast last week, I didn't really feel like there was much build-up to this game. And I know we're in the middle of the Olympics. I know the Euros are only over. I know there's big European games. Rovers and Pats have been in and all the rest. But I felt there was a very, very muted build-up to this. And I wonder a little bit, did League of Ireland people like ourselves know this was going to be a bit of a snooze fest? Because even when I texted you yesterday, you told me you were doing the commentary, I said, great, but bring your pillow.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to be a bore fest.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was a bore fest at all. I thought there was a lot. I was impressed by Derry. I was kind of afraid with how Derry were going to approach this game. Almost like, are they going to just try and not lose and try and drag them in, or, you know, reel them in a bit?
No, but they played well in the first half, didn't they?
They were very, very good in the first half. Michael Duffy will be kicking himself.
Brilliant player from Hooban.
Yeah, but there was two chances. The one Kearns made a couple of saves, and those two chances should have been slotted away. One of them at least.
Yeah.
And now Michael Duffy had a brilliant game. He was the difference maker in the game. They were targeting. If anybody listened to my commentary, I was doing some wonderful punditry. Basically, what was the game plan was, give it to Mark Connolly in the centre-back position, and Doherty and Duffy will hammer Gannon.
I did know, I actually said that to myself last night. I was like, they're really switching it here and stretching the pitch.
Yeah.
And okay, it worked at times, but there was a lot of ball that Gannon just ate up to that was under hit. And same with the fullback the other side. There was a lot of it that just didn't come off, but you could see what they were trying to do.
Yeah, no, I thought a lot of it did come off. Like, there was some bits that were poor. There's no doubt about it. But I thought there was actually a very clever game plan where Duffy would find himself over the opposite side of the pitch and would have dragged the lad over. I would say JJ Lunny got caught a couple of times out of position because he was following Duffy, and that left Doherty a lot of space to be on top of Gannon. And they probably didn't make enough use out of that, but they were definitely trying to work shells over.
Yeah, and it was a different approach that we're always going on about. We're kind of joking about playing through the thirds. They didn't try to do that last night. They were, as we said, doing something different, trying to stretch the pitch, get it over the top of the fullbacks.
And that did cause a lot of problems for shells. Yeah. Shells were very one-dimensional in the first half. It took Sam Todd...
Just the first half.
Well, look, we'll come on to that. Sam Todd was stupid.
Yeah.
It's pure stupidity, actually.
Yeah.
He got a yellow card rightly for taking out Bert. He was just a second late to the ball and Bert got ahead of him. Fair enough, yellow card, no question about that. But to get involved in that nonsense, where he was turned like I don't know what, and I think it was on Bert as well. Bert was gone or about to go, and he kind of dragged him down. It was a second yellow card. There's no question about it. There's a few people going, oh, harsh yellow card. Oh, so should have been talking to. No, it's a yellow card. He pulled him back.
He spun him.
Not only that, part of that yellow card should have been, you know, allocated to Sam Todd's stupidity. You know what I mean? That was just absolutely no business. And it was like 5 or 10 yards inside the Shell's half. There was probably 4 or 5 players behind Todd covering if anything was to happen.
Very
disappointed. And it kind of took away from the bite of the game, because you knew what was going to happen then. Shells would find it hard to break down the 10 men, which they did. And I think a major problem in how Shells were playing was Sam Bone.
I was just going to say, we were talking about Connolly switching the ball to the flanks. Bone tried in the last play of the game, I think. He tries to open up the pitch and he just drives it into that old tin roof up in Tolkien.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
I think it went out onto Richmond Road. There was a lot of talk about let's say Damien Duff and like his antics on the sideline and stuff like that. And, you know, probably a significant chunk of that is for probably his own brain and just for his players to see him going mental. But if you'd actually listen to him instead of just watch him, he was crying and begging and pleading with them to speed it up.
Yeah, I could see that constantly. Yeah.
And Sam Bone, if he didn't have the right back or his centre back partner to pass it to, he was in dire straits. Now, dire does not begin to describe the problems that Sam Bone was experiencing if he didn't have a 5-yard pass to his right or left. He was like, because there was so little pressure on the back four for Shells, it actually made it 10 times worse for their speed because they nearly had too many options and not able to pick any of them. And when you have Damien Duff, I don't know how that dynamic would have worked out, but I just found it really frustrating for Damien Duff to be freaking out on the sideline because his players were just lobbing it around the place as if they're 3 or 4 nil up and just trying to run out the clock. It was points dropped for Shells, there's no question about it, and there does need to be a check on how they break down teams because some of them players, and I know I'm just picking out Sam Bone, but he drove me mental watching that game last night. I was like, how can you not do something else? And he tried an old Zidane flick at one point as well. I was like, Jesus Christ, he must have heard something. And it actually did come off. I think he managed to get a pass it out to the wing. But
yeah, he used to do that at Dundalk a good bit, actually.
He did, actually, yeah. And to be fair to him, he banged in a few, didn't he, from range?
So, yeah.
But look, I think points drop for Shelburne, but there'll be maybe a bit of hope for Derry, you know.
Well, is there... I said I'd come back to this later. Is there hope for Shamrock Rovers? Because they were the two top teams last night and they served up a poor game of football. Is there still hope that Rovers could win this league?
I don't think so, because I just don't think they'd have to go on a serious run and look for points to be dropped from not just Shells, but Derry as well. I think that's a far too big of an equation with 10 games left in the season. And I think Shamrock Rovers have 11 or 12 maybe, but like one of them is against Bowes.
11 behind, game in hand on Shells, 2 games in hand on Derry.
Yeah, I think that's too much.
Might catch one of them, maybe not the two of them.
Yeah, I think one of them will make a hames of it, probably Derry, unfortunately, and Shells will just grind it out. But their issues going forward are significant as well.
And we haven't even touched
Jarvis,
on Jarvis today. That's
a kick in the balls, that is.
Is the word disaster too big to use? I don't know.
I think so, yeah. Come on, it's one player. It's not Ronaldo we're talking about here. Like, what age is Jarvis? 20? Like, he's good, like, but he's you know.
He's got 8 goals this season.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass, all right. And with Sam, or Sean Boyd, I don't know how long he's going to be out for as well.
I'm sure we're saying that every week.
Yeah, but he does score goals.
Oh,
and he does score goals
in
games. No, he's completely unreliable. You can't hang your hat on him at all, which is unfortunate. But
supposed to be looking for... He's brought in Tulloch, which I think is a bit of a strange signing, to be honest. Like, he was decent for Dundalk, but I thought he was very hot and cold.
He tried to do a bit of moving and shaking last night.
He went try, like, he's a bit like Daniel Kelly, you know, 1 in 10 good games.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the Shell squad. Obviously, Smith came on last night, Matty Smith. They're probably going to be asking him and Ali Coote be asking them to step up a little bit more, I suppose.
I didn't see much from. I know they only came on, but there was no real game-changing moment at all.
There's no doubt losing Jarvis is a big blow. Even you said Derry can take hope from things that happened last night. Even getting that news this morning surely must give Derry a little pick me up as well.
Derry have enough on their own plate. Do you know what I mean? They need to go and start winning games and winning them comprehensively, because they need a bit of momentum. They need to be going, like, Shells have a draw 1-1 somewhere. I don't know where to do that. Draw had it, let's say, for example. And then Derry putting six past boats. You know, you need to be like, you know, it's not just like beating the teams in front of you, but it's also like doing it in such a way that you're like, oh, shite, these boys are mad for this. Like, so we haven't seen enough of that.
I think I've seen a Derry fan pointing out today, like their record against Rovers and Shells recently is very, very poor.
For Derry?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be the case. But because they're all so bunched up, I know there's a difference between Shamrock Rovers in third or fourth or wherever they are. That's going to be a bit of a problem. But I just don't see them doing enough in the time that's left.
Derry or Rovers?
No, sorry, Rovers. Yeah.
So you're still with Shells for the league?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I am just about. Right, as I said, Gary was on commentary last night with the Drive 105 lads, so they were very good to give us some audio this week to thank Gary for his services. So we're going to hear from the Derry City boss, Rory Higgins, after last night's game, and then we'll hear from Brian Maher. He was speaking to Mikey Keeley after the game.
I'm really, really proud of the players, to be honest, because we showed two sides of us when it was 11-11. Played some beautiful football. 11-10, we rolled our sleeves up, showed proper commitment, proper desire, and thoroughly deserved the point. And over the piece, even over the 95 minutes, we had the better chances in the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Certainly 11 men, you were very impressive, and then equally so in a different way with 10 men. But the sending off does change the dynamic of the game. What was your view on it, and what are you thinking at that particular point?
No, well, I've absolutely no issue with the sending off, but it's double standards. What I do have an issue with is John Martin, one of their players. Paul McMullen does them in a one-on-one going into the final third. It's a promising attack. John Martin brings him down, and the punishment's not the same. And then subsequently he gets brought off 30 seconds later. That's where my issue lies.
Second half, how pleased were you with, you know, the disciplined performance and how much you limited them to any real meaningful chances?
I really proud of the players. They're man. They poured their guts out on the pitch, and it leaves you, it gives you real pride and to be leading the group, because they've given absolutely everything to make sure that we left here with a minimum point. And to be honest, I felt we deserved three.
Was there a difference of opinion down there in the touchline after the final whistle?
It's just emotions, isn't it? It's an emotional game. They want, they won, we want, they won. That's handbags, really.
You're playing it down anyway.
Aye. Well, there's nothing to really talk about.
Officiating performance overall, I mean, they were under a bit of pressure after last night's incident.
No, I get that. And to be honest, I really rate Damien. Really rate him. But I think, as I said, I have absolutely zero issue with our red card. What I do have the issue with is the player that got brought off then, because he should have been sent off. That's the issue that I have. But other than that, I think he's refereed the game well, and I think he's a really good referee.
And finally for me, the situation at the top remains unchanged after tonight. What did we find out about the title race tonight?
I found out that we're up for it. I found out that we're made of the right stuff. And let's be honest, there's more than two teams involved in it, and anybody that thinks any different is wrong. So it makes it very, very interesting and exciting, and I've no doubt after tonight that we're up for the challenge.
Cheers. I could just stop it there 1 minute, the TV's gone off air.
I'm joined by Brian Maher, Derry City goalkeeper. Brian, I know this is an odd question to say. You had a great save in the second half, but were you a little bit surprised that you weren't worked that much harder with Shelburne when you were down to 10 men?
Potentially, you know, you're going down to 10 men, you think it's, obviously, you know, it's going to be difficult, like, but the boys worked so hard, and, you know, we had a really good defensive shape. We changed things at half-time, the manager and stuff, so, you know, we were set up really well, and we genuinely didn't give away many chances, and I think everyone could see that, so... But obviously, it's hard to go and win the game when you're 11 v 10. But we're still trying to win it, you know, with picking our moments, and we nearly did. But yeah, look, it's probably a point that in the end, with a decision that, you know, puts you 11 v 10, you take the draw in the end. But we came here looking to win.
Well, my co-commentator on Drive on a 5 tonight said that the best pass of the night was yours to Daniel Kelly in the second half. So you should take a bit of credit for that. It was a great run by Daniel,
yeah.
But really well the out-to-in run, and it was really well spotted by you. So it's a shame that you just couldn't nick it in at that stage.
That's it. That's what I'm saying about, you know, we tried to pick our moments, and he's made a brilliant run, and he's really unlucky that the touch just hasn't got away from the goalkeeper, and it's, you know, it's probably a yard away from going around him. So look, that's what I'm saying about we had to be in a shape, we had to defend really well, but you know, we tried to pick our moments.
And one of the things in the second half as well, I think that obviously had to change with the 10 men, was you weren't playing the ball short to the back four at that stage. You seemed to be going a little bit longer, trying particularly to target, I think, Pat Hoop and some of our taller guys up there to try and get the second ball up whenever.
Yeah, look, we did at times, we had to mix it up more. We still played out at times when the pressure dropped. We tried to invite them out at times to come and press us, but you know, they didn't really press us at times, so we went a bit longer and went over it. So yeah, we just tried to hit areas of, you know, Mickey and Pat and Danny Mullen, but and we got a bit of joy out of it. Like, we, you know, on another day we could easily win that game at the same time with being down 10 men.
Oh, well, that's, I suppose, the question. Is it 2 points dropped or 1 point gained, Brian?
Look, we'll see at the end of the year. There's a long way to go. It's hard to call any of that, you know, right now. It's still, this isn't many leagues are won and lost at all. So look, we've 10 games left, I think, now, so we keep going on and see how far we can go.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Cheers, thank you.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, thanks to the boys for chatting, or to the Drive 105 boys, I should say, for giving us that audio with the two lads, Rory Higgins and Brian Maher. Suppose just to wrap up that Monday night game, Gaz, as I said, the most exciting element of it was the little bit of a Barney at the end between Rory and Duffer. Who do you think would win in a boxing match? Kelly Harrington's just one goal as we're talking here. Who do you think would come out on top in a bout between those two?
I think Higgins would.
He'd have the reach as well.
Yeah, he'd have the reach as well. The taller man, so I think he'd keep Duff at bay and be, I don't know, play box, through the thirds,
box through the thirds,
yeah, box through the thirds, and win on points or something.
Yeah, very good. Right, first division time. UCD 1, Wexford 1. You were at this as well, some man.
Yeah, Jesus, I was on working OT this weekend. Yeah, it was a poor enough game. It wasn't actually a poor enough game at all. It just seemed to happen in front of me rather than being a wonderful game. But Wexford would be very disappointed. They were by far the better team, particularly in the first half. I thought they were dominating and kept UCD back. But it's another, I don't care what anybody says, another poor goalkeeping situation,
yeah,
for Wexford.
Yeah.
A shot from nothing, really. 30 yards out, maybe a bit more.
He has a long way to see it.
He has a long way to see it. Yeah. Bounced a couple of times. Should have been making sure that was pushed around the post. Very disappointing from Wexford, who probably were the better team on the night. But look, that's the way it goes. And it's kind of been the story of Wexford's season, hasn't it? Like, with dropping stupid points that they shouldn't have been dropping at all. But I think... like, looking at the table now, they're in seventh. You know what I mean? It's pure mediocrity. Like, it's not great at all.
Well, talking about stupid goals, Cove Ramblers 1.
Oh, no, Jesus.
Nil. I mean, I used the term last week. Some of the goals Longford are conceding, that you wouldn't see a Sunday league team conceding them, but like, this is that goal that they conceded is pure pub football stuff. That's unacceptable to concede a goal like that.
Yeah, no, it's
not the first time this season.
No, it's not. It's really desperate stuff. Because Longford didn't play too badly in the game. Obviously, I wasn't at it, but I was double jobbing on Friday watching it. And
but it's not the same in front. Like, you said the same last week against UCD, and they give away a couple of hilariously bad goals. Again, they go all the way down the tick. The fucking time to go all the way down to St. Coleman's Park. Long old journey down there, put in a decent shift, and they find a way to lose the game. And that is the thing with this Longford Town team. They find ways to lose matches.
Yeah, completely. I only looked back at that goal there today. It wasn't miserable enough. And it's just like, how does that happen? Like, how it's just.
And I said that they've conceded goals like this already this season. They conceded a goal like this in St. Coleman's Park earlier in the season, where they totally switch off from a set piece.
I don't actually remember that. And
we were at that one. Do you remember? I won't name the player, but he ran out of position.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Off after that, even though he was having a good game, but he made that one lapse in judgment where he ran out and left the man unmarked and he scored.
Yeah.
That was from a set piece, and like, I don't know how on earth a fella is free at the back post from a long throw.
And there's
like,
three of them free at the back post.
And not only that, like, if that lad doesn't head that ball in, the throw in was actually, I think it looked like it was going straight into the net. It wouldn't have counted, obviously, but like, it's just insane that it was that easy.
Yeah, completely. Very frustrating. I don't really know what to say. Like, because there's some chances in the game, like Cove, I think, managed to put it out of the stadium from about 6 yards out.
Is that the one where had like three off the line in the space of passes?
Yeah, no. This is in the first half. It was in the first half, and you know they did create chances. There was a bit of helter skelter going on. I think Halwax had to make a save, then it was cleared off the line, and you're thinking, come on now, you know, great boost. Let's do something here. But to concede a goal like that must be just, I know what it is. Soul destroying. So very frustrating. Shinee.
This next game was probably one of the best, worst games I've ever seen. Athlone Town 3, Kerry 3. The goals are hilarious in a lot of cases. Just pure mayhem, this game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was a bit of an idea. Did you say that there'll be a few goals in this game? I don't really remember.
Let me have a look here. I went 2-0 Athlone.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, this was a mad game. Athlone go 1-0 up, and through a bit of a comical goal in itself. Was it going over the line? It wasn't going over the line. Keeper tries to call back. It does go over the line.
I have no idea what really happened there, to be honest. Keeper's obviously anticipated, and he's gone beyond the ball, and it's got a touch somewhere, and yeah, it's just a mess.
I think the keeper was trying to like cut off the cross, and then it got nicked off the defender, which took it between the keeper and the goal.
Yeah.
But really, really decent equaliser. It was a bit funny that as well. It kind of scurried in from Kerry.
Scurrying in this game.
Yeah, there was three or four defenders on the floor and just kind of rolled in. And then a really, really good goal. A poor defensive corner. There's one or two Kerry lads seen around the back post to tap it in. Goes over everybody. And just there's two lads there to tap it in. Similar to Longford Town, except this was much better defending, if that's even possible. Kerry go 3-1 up. I think Dylan Hand uses his hand.
I don't know, did he? I know the camera angle's not great, but it looked harsh.
Yeah, no, I think he left his arm out. I think from the distance he had,
what kills him there.
Yeah. And the referee is looking straight at it. The referee's in a great position, to be fair to him, and he can see it. But then, you know, there's even like a few minutes later, Dean Ebbe manages to. A Kerry man tries to head it back to his keeper. It misses the keeper, hits off the post. Ebby runs onto it, hits it straight at the keeper, and then it's cleared away. A few minutes after that, I think, was it Dylan Hand, who didn't have a great game, it has to be said, although he does bail them out in the end, tries to pass it back. doesn't go next or near the keeper. And then I can't remember who it is. Is it Amici?
Oh, yeah. Jeez, tries... they made some Hamza. Oh.
Yeah, like he tries to side foot it in, but.
Side foot's a 20 foot wide.
Yeah, like a mile wide. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just brutal stuff.
If anyone has watched the highlights of this game, please do. It is.
Yeah, it's just brutal. It's like, you know, like even like scuff clearances, and then for Athlone to get back in the game, a scuff clearance, chested down, and bashed in on the half volley over the keeper's head to bring it 3-2, and then another comical goal to equalize. I think Dylan Hand gets it, and he just kind of lets a hit off him. So yeah, look, it was mad, and then. I think Kerry had an opportunity to win it at the end, but it was deflected out for a corner. So
yeah, mayhem in the Midlands. Definitely watch that back. That's your homework.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's a good bit of crack. That
Finn Harps 1, Bray Wanderers 2. This is a dreadful result for Finn Harps and a massive result for Bray.
Yeah, big one. I think, did I go for them last week? I know I had a bad week. I thought I went for them. No.
No, the only result you got was Dundalk losing to Galway.
Shite.
You went 1-0 Harps.
Did I?
Yeah.
I deserve to be bottom. So yeah, that is killer for Harps, particularly with Cove winning. So there's only 2 points between them now. So now they're looking over their shoulder. They really could have done with at least a point out of that game to kind of keep that gap between them and Cove. But it's a bit of a bad run. I think this is their second or third loss in in as many games. So it's not going swimmingly now for Harps. It's going to the final third of the season, but I think they'll have enough to stay in the playoff position. I think
really, yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't see enough in Cove. I don't think I think anybody below Cove are not gonna do it. I don't think Wexford are gonna get in. And I think there's going to be, I think the way the table looks now is probably gonna be a good guesstimate on what the table is going to look like come the end of the season.
Okay. And finally, on the First Division front, Treaty United 1, Cork City 1. And I think I might have maybe talked you out of going for... you were hinting last week that you felt Treaty could get something out of this. And I was like, no, Cork, Keaton's back. This will be a hammering. No, they missed a lot of chances in the game, Cork. But Treaty, big complaints about the late nature of this goal. It was, I think, 2 minutes over the allocated six or... whatever, but Keaton, he had an instant impact anyway on his return.
Keaton, oh yeah, was it him that got the header on? Was it?
Yes,
he got
the header, and then
was it Charlie Lyons that scored it?
Yeah.
Look, that's the game, you know. You get these kicks in the stones. It was a good goal from Treaty to go ahead, but they did have to do a lot of defending. To be fair, we've been hard on Corey Chambers, but he met some
great
saves. Yeah. Jesus, I don't know what he had for dinner on Friday, but he may start eating it more because he was fantastic.
Don't eat it this week.
Huh?
He better not eat ahead of the weekend.
No, please don't. But yeah, I just think it was a really big kick in the balls for Treaty to be going so long. In the seat or going so long in the game ahead, and then I thought the defending was poor. It was probably just tiredness at that point. He could have cleared it, he could have got something on it, caught it even at that point, you know, and you know, suffered the free kick. But look, it wasn't to be, and the Lions just stuck it into the bottom corner to bail them out. But I think the old adage is that when you're at those particular positions in the table, that's what happens. You get these things happening to you. So, and on the flip side for Cork, you get to rub the green. So, look, tough one there for Treaty, no doubt, but decent performance as well.
And come here, what about Seanie Maguire coming back today?
I don't know. It kind of shits all over what Tim Clancy was saying there a couple of weeks ago, crying about the wages. He's not wrong. There are a lot of teams giving out big money that will not see Europe, even on a map. They're that far away from qualifying for Europe. So, yeah, there is he's not entirely wrong. But then to go sign Keating and Sean Maguire, kind of flies in the face of that.
Yeah, but I suppose we've talked a lot about Cork, about, geez, if they don't invest, they're going to be in big trouble. Like, two top-class signings there in recent days.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But, like, as Sean McGough, like, I was looking there, he hasn't exactly, like, scored a bag of goals.
No.
You know, in the last few years.
Which is maybe a kind of a soft launch, as they call it, into the first division. He could get 10 goals between now and the end of the season, and the next thing, he's primed and ready to go next year.
I don't know. I'd have reservations about that, because, like, you know, he's played a decent bit of football in the last year. I know he hasn't, but he hasn't done a lot of scoring. So that'd be obviously a concern.
He's been ravaged with injuries over there too, hasn't he?
He has been ravaged with injuries, and maybe, you know, playing just first division, although they still have the cup to contend with Cork, but like, there's no pressure on them now because the league is going up. Like,
yeah.
So I think, it'd be fine. He's 30 now, believe it or not.
I thought he was older, yeah. But again, injuries kind of add to that clock a lot, don't they? Like,
so they do. That's it. Yeah.
As I said, I think going into the first division could be a good way to ease himself back into the league. He'll score back.
Yeah, fair idea. Yeah.
Calvin Keaton will get a part. They could get 20 goals between them between now and the end of the season, and next thing, they just start next season like a house.
20 goals between the two of them.
They could easily. There's nothing to say they can't go now and start beating. I know they haven't really been doing it this season, but with them two up front, like, they could go and beat a Longford Town 5 or 6 nil.
They could have done that anyway. Should have done that already this season. 4-0. Anyway, go on again.
Right, look, that's the first division wrapped up. As I said, we've got Sean Hyland, a Shells fan, playing on behalf of the listener. So after Gary's pathetic performance last week in the Predictions League, he is now rock bottom on 96. I'm second on 104. Listeners clear on 112. So let's get stuck into the first division games first. And we'll start with Bray Wanderers against UCD. Somewhat of a derby. One of the worst derbies in the country, probably.
Worst derby is no question about it, but
it's the repeat of the very first game of the season. UCD won with 10 men, didn't they? It was a dreadful performance from Bray, but Bray have been ticking along well under Lorcan Fitz.
That's who's running it, is it?
Well, he's the man on the line anyway.
I'm going to say, I think this is going to be a poor game. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Okay. You weren't overly impressed with UCD on Friday, no?
No, I wasn't. I thought there was a...
You weren't that impressed with them the week before against Longford?
No.
Hmm.
I think there's a bit of, I don't want to say staleness, but there's something about them that's just not fitting with me. And I can see them like coming out of here with a point and being happy enough with it too.
I often shy away from going for Bray because I always feel like, you know, they're going to give goals away and the rest. But that was a big result to go up to Donegal and get the win. So I'm going to, very rare time here, I'm going to put faith in Bray. I'm going to go 2-1 to the Seagulls. Wexford against Finn Harps. Huge game for both teams here.
Is this the last chance really for Wexford to get ahead? Or to get back into it? Or do you think they're just not good enough to sustain it? It doesn't matter what they do here.
The table's very condensed. I don't think that this is going to be terminal to anyone's season, whatever the result is here.
What do you think? Give me a score.
Low scoring anyway. Definitely low scoring. Wexford always find a way to throw away a goal. I can see Harps just rolling one in from a corner in the last minute and the keeper's on his arse. And I'm going to go 1-1 here.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford.
Okay.
There's enough in that game, and our old friend Dobbsy, he missed a couple of really, really good chances. He swung one wide of the post when it was looked easier to score.
Isn't that Aaron Dobbs? I think back to the game in Longford, was it earlier this season where he was that last season, but he hit the post and
there's a lot of that going on. Yeah,
like he's a really good striker and a big time for Dobbsy, great fan of him, but like, he can miss three or four good chances before he slots on away.
Yeah, so he's due one this weekend.
Fair enough. I think I forgot to give Sean's prediction on the first game, Bray UCD. He's going 2-2 there, and he's going for a draw in this one. He's going 1-1. So I'm going 1-1. Sean going 1-1. Gary going 2-1 to Wexford. Cork against Athlone. The new strike partnership, could it be unleashed here?
Is this going to be bad damage for Athlone, is it? Like, are they going to get torn apart?
There's not too many teams tearing Athlone apart these days, to be fair.
Well, Kerry put three by them the other day.
They still got a result, though.
I think Cork could put three by them and not concede any at all.
Yeah, I thought that against Treaty, and look what happened. But they missed a lot of chances, Cork. Ah, yeah, they'll shoot in practice this week. 3-0.
4-0.
And Sean going 3-1 to Cork City. Kerry against Cove in one of the many Munster derbies. I was talking to a lad I work with today, a big Dundalk fan, and he was like, I was like, Jesus, Dundalk's in trouble. And he was like, yeah. He was like, can you imagine getting relegated into that first division? He was like, the travel. I was like, I know. He was like, yeah, but Cove, Cork, Limerick. I was like, I know. Yeah. I was like, I did Cove and Kerry in the space of a few days. And he was like, Jesus, that's great.
Yeah. That was great. But and actually, that was the bank holiday Monday. Then the Friday we went down to Kerry, wasn't it?
Jesus. Soaked to our skin and 3-0. And that's what made me sick over in America. My immune system was shot to bits.
Oh, right.
The immune system makes me sick.
Bit of rain.
A bit of rain. Jesus, it's just unbelievable stuff down there in Mount Hawk when it comes down. But anyway, right, Kerry against Cove.
Kerry against Cove. I think Kerry could do something here. I know Cove are kind of upticking to try and, you know, put their hat into the ring for the for the playoffs, but I don't know, I think there's an opportunity here for Kerry. I think they could get a point. I'm gonna go 2-2.
Okay. Just the goals that were conceded in that Athlone and Kerry game. I think Cove maybe are that bit more organized. I'm gonna go 2-1 to Cove here. Sean,
was it just on Cove, they've conceded 42 goals this season. There's only one team worse.
Okay.
That's a lot of goals to be conceding.
Yeah. Sean thinks along the same lines as you. He's going to go 2-2 there. And then we go to Longford against Treaty on the Saturday. Treaty still in the hunt for the playoffs.
Treaty still in the hunt for the playoffs, but they're going to meet a cruel end on Saturday night. I know Treaty, like, it'll be a bit more industrial with long throws and stuff like that. They'll see how long.
Sure, if Barcelona came to Bishopsgate tomorrow morning, they'd be eager not to be putting long throws into the box.
Yeah, Messi go up there, peg that ball in. fair enough. I'm going to go 2-1 to Longford Town.
Okay, Longford find a way to lose. 1-0 to Treaty. Sean goes 2-1 to Treaty. Moving into the Premier Division, Bowes against Waterford. Something we didn't talk about, Bowes. Alan Reynolds leaving that under 21 gig. That had to happen, didn't it? Just to keep...
It did have to happen. I think the September window or whatever, he was on... I think he was signed up for that as well. So I think, he had to pull Plant out of that. It wasn't really a runner. Yeah, it was just stupid. Bull should have been far cuter about that. Mm. But I think I think part of if you want someone in the FEI to come onto your team, there's some rules and regulations about that. You can't just like interview them or something. You know, you have to go through the FEI. So maybe there's something got to do with that. Let him finish out the season. And there was people going on about how passionate he was about the under-21 setup and how he loved it and it was blah, blah, blah. No. You manage Bowes. That's who you manage. That's the end of it. Do you know what I mean? You can't do two. You can't have your cake and eat it. So, right decision. Shouldn't have never really got into that position in the first place, though.
Two teams here that they need something to try and kickstart a run of form. Bowes are winless in 5 and Waterford have lost their last 3.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, they've been dragged a bit into a bit of a fourth place challenge. There's 4 teams there on 37 points. Sligo being one of them, to be fair. I think the biggest loss was last, or the biggest pain in the ass for Waterford was that 2-0 loss against Drogheda.
I've often kind of talked you out of results, so I'm going to throw something out here and see which way you swayed me. I'm thinking of going for a Waterford win here. Do you think that's insane, or?
I don't know why, like, Bowes, right, I'm just to be clear, I'm after bringing it up here, which shows how my memory has gone to shite at my relatively young age. Bowes are at the bottom of the home form.
Wow.
Sorry, bottom of the table.
Yeah.
13 points at home this season. Jeez, that is brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal. Waterford's away form isn't bad. I'm going to go for a 1-0 Waterford win.
Okay.
You talk me into it.
I was hoping you were going to talk me out of the Waterford thing there, but I'm going to go in behind it as well. I'm going to go 2-1 to Waterford, and Sean is going for 2-1 win to Bowes. Derry against Dundalk. We always say when Derry have these sort of games at home, these are the sort of games, if you're going to win a title, you cannot afford to slip up in.
No, you certainly cannot. There's no excuse here whatsoever. Going up against a team that are poor, to say the
and
least.
I think people are forgetting as well about Dundalk. Like, they're looking at the results, obviously, and the reaction from the fans. Like, the back four has been decimated in the transfer window. Davis gone, Johnson gone, Bradshaw gone, Mountney filling in at right back, Boyle and Anna Machoon. I don't think it's a fantastic partnership. The back four is all over the gaff. So yeah. Derry need to be making hay here.
Yeah, they do. They need to be laid down a marker very early on. There should be 1-0 up, 2-0 at halftime. They need to be putting Dundalk down like dogs. And I think they can do it. I think they'll be a bit, you know, we did all right last night with 10 men. Sam Todd made it very hard for us. But we did okay. And we really nullified what Shaz were trying to do, which was poor. So I think they could do a job here. I'm going to go for 4-0 to Derry. Yes,
I just don't think Derry will open up on them like that. I think this will be a rather boring 2-0 win for Derry. And do you know what Sean thinks now? Maybe this is him trying to will Shelburne onto the title, but he thinks Derry are going to drop points here. He's going for a 1-1 draw. Sligo Rovers against Shelburne. Despite the fact that Sligo lost in patch, you were very impressed with them. So I think we'll still describe them as informed Sligo Rovers taking on the league leader, Shelburne.
Yeah, no, and I stand by that. I thought they were very good. Fully deserving of a result there. This is a right pain in the ass for Shelburne.
Is this the sort of game now where, again, they'll go into must-not-lose mode?
I think so. I think that's going to creep in because they can't afford to be losing any games. What do you think? I'll go 1-1. I think
I wouldn't be surprised if Sligo won it though.
That's what I'm saying. I can see them. This is in the showgrounds.
Yeah.
It's been bopping lately.
They're in the hunt for Europe. This is a huge game for them.
Big opportunity.
Yeah. And
look, you know what? You talked me into that 1-0 Sligo.
Okay. Like after last night, again, like you go on Twitter today, everyone is giving out about Damien Duff's antics. Like the Sligo fans will be baying for Duff's blood. They'll want to take the scalp of Duff on Saturday or Friday, whenever this game is. So, I don't really know what went on there between Duff and Higgins. I just love Duff, I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, I think like people look at the stuff talking about stuff on the sideline, it's all for show. But I think he's saying a lot of stuff.
We had someone tweet us and
We have.
I'm kind of skipping ahead here. We should be saving this for the hotline, but there was
we're talking about Duff here now.
Someone was just saying about let me just see. Finally a bit of Ronan McGinley said, finally a bit of needle at the end of Shell's Derry. Less of this friend shite. And that's what we've been talking about. Too much friendliness in this league. Duff has brought a bite to it, and we need a bit of that.
There's no question about that. We've been looking for, particularly me, to be fair, I've been looking for far more hatred in the league. All the managers doing coaching courses together and blah, 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 meeting each other and having the tea all needs to go.
Where's the Roddy against Dolan and the Caulfield against Suet? You know what I mean? Where is all that gone? We need a bit of what happened last night. It was probably the only kind of clip that went a bit semi-viral after the game. So I think...
Can you imagine if one of them swung? Imagine just Rory Higgins just laying out Duffer there in the middle of Talca Park. I would have no qualms about saying Derry are going to win it if all their players were watching that going on.
I've seen
Duffer there lying in the hip.
Vinny Part was on, I think it was Off the Ball today, and he made the point that he feels that the Derry players will see what went on there last night and they'll actually respect, they'll have more respect for Higgins now that he didn't bow down to Damien Duff, that he actually went toe to toe with Duff. Reading too much into that?
Way too much. No. The Duffer. Like, as I said to you before, too many people are welded to Duffer's arse. Like, he's a good manager. That's it. Like, I don't really know, you know, and he says a lot of stuff, but he says a lot of stuff because he probably spends maybe 15 to 18 hours a day with someone with a microphone in his face, be it from Off the Ball or some other shower. So, of course he's going to say stuff. It's very easy to say a lot of box office stuff when everybody's listening to you all the time. It's just like everybody wait to hear from Duffer.
That's how our listeners feel every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah, fine.
Wait to hear from the lads.
Yeah, I know, and that's grand. But like, Duffer has been very good for the league. But like,
no, definitely, yeah.
I think people are reading in too much to the antics on the line. He's trying to, I was able to hear him last night. I thought he was trying to give a lot of information. He was looking for more urgency. And like, when you're looking for something as, I don't know, like, intangible maybe, as urgency, he wanted to see, and he knew you need to give that across. You need to show the urgency in your body language, and maybe that's what he was trying to do there. But I can see why people are being pissy about it, let's say.
Moving on, Galway v Pats. It looks like this one will go ahead. If it does,
and rightly, yeah.
What do we see happening here? And we will be talking about the two European games before we go as well, but we'll stick with the league first. Galway v Pats.
Oh, I hope Galway stuff them. Fill them in. That game's got, I think it's on, hold on a minute now.
Sunday.
Sunday. But is it at 3 o'clock?
I'm not sure.
It's marked on Flashscore down for 3 o'clock.
Right.
Middle of Sunday. So, all the crying. You'll be back at home in your bed at 8 or 9 o'clock that evening if you don't prick around.
Well, Pats will probably stay in a hotel in Galway.
Oh, that's right. And then stay in a hotel in Athlone to break up the journey on the way home.
Money is no object.
Money is no object. There's no question about that. Right. Well, yeah. Oh, they've two flights tomorrow. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I think all that sideshow is probably too much. And the saying that, though, like, are they going to save the like of El Buzetti? Like, it really depends on what happens on Thursday. You know, if they get blown apart, does it really make a bag of difference?
Well, they'll have to put all focus into this.
Yes.
Whereas if they get a good result Thursday, then the prize is probably too great.
Shifted.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I probably think that you're right. I think maybe the whole sideshow around this has maybe taken over. So I think Galway, the way they are, I think they'll capitalise on that. They will do everything to make sure a game of football doesn't break out and that won't suit Pats. 1-0 Galway.
Well, it's not as if Pats are playing some lovely sweeping brand of football that's just wonderful on the eye. Even saying that on Sunday, there was a few lads in the crowd jawing at Git, and rightly so.
Our friend Git.
No.
Stop tweeting shite to the boys.
Yeah, the original Git. I'd say Chris Farce is Chris Farce and then Git is Git. I don't know. He's just not affecting the game. He's games are passing him by, really and truly. He's not impacting the game as well as he should. And I think maybe there's a bit of, sometimes players are looking to him to lead them out of, you know, a difficult patch in the game, and he's not able to do it this season. I think it's going to be a tough go for Pats. I'm going to go for 2-1 to Galway.
Okay, and Sean going for a 1-1 draw, and that brings us to Shamrock Rovers against Drogheda.
Actually, can I come back on that?
Yeah,
because that's probably the only the other night was probably the third or fourth time that Galway scored two goals in a game, apart from Longford.
I will point out though they should have scored six. But again, it was against Dundalk.
2-1. I'll stick with it.
Okay, right, Rovers Drogs.
No time for slipping up for Rovers if they want to have any shout. I'm going to go 2-0 to Rovers.
Yeah, 2-0 to Rovers. Sean going 3-0 to Rovers.
What do you think?
I'll probably follow yourself, I think, and go 2-0 to Shamrock Rovers. Right, very quickly, we won't spend a whole pile on this because we know nothing about these teams, in all honesty. That's against Sabah Baku.
Oh, no little intro for that. You're just coming straight to me.
Straight to you. You're a bit expert. I think these, they seem to be one of these clubs that's popped up from nowhere and kind of rose to prominence in their domestic league quite quickly. So you'd imagine there's quite a good bit of money flashing about there. They beat Maccabi Haifa in the previous round on penalties. They overcame Partizan on penalties last year as well. Did they go out last year on penalties to Partizan? Push Partizan close anyway. but yeah, they've only played, like, this Pats game will only be their fourth European tie, so they haven't been around that long. They were only founded in 2017.
Oh, that's nice. Look, is there any point in us talking about this? Should we have a breeze?
No. Where's John Breyer when you need him?
And again,
you look at their squad, like, they've got Serbians, Moroccans, Germans, Spanish, Bosnian, Jamaican, Luxembourg, Croatian. Like, they've got a really international squad.
No?
No, they don't shop in that market, believe it or not.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they're all in Dublin, or were all in Dublin. Look, I haven't a clue. I haven't a clue for most things, but I really don't have a clue for this.
The fact the second leg's away from home maybe going to be the killer here?
It's going to cause some damage, probably, because I think it's going to be a difficult tie for them at this level. It's always going to be difficult. If they could, do you think? We don't know. I might as well be looking into a ditch here. I'm going to say Pat's 2-0. On Thursday. And then next week. They'll get through.
Please God, that'd be great. And then we've got Shamrock Rovers going to Celje on Thursday night, but that means the second leg's going to be at home. So I think we touched on this one briefly on last week's pod. They're not going to be as good as Sparta Prague, you'd hope.
You'd hope so, yeah. I think they could do something here. It'd be a great achievement to get through another round. I'm going to say 1-0 to Rovers on the night because I think they'll be playing it quite cagey.
We won't include those two in the predictions league because we haven't a breeze there. But
if that comes true, come on, like I have to get Dawson, something for that.
This will be like the Dawson Devoy situation. There'll be appeals and solicitor letters going. I just have a horrible feeling that there's going to be the typical Irish hard luck stories at the end of these. I think that's maybe a good shout from you, Pats, to win the first leg. Could see them going out on penalties or something.
And get filled in the away leg or something.
I can see Rovers winning 2-1 on Thursday and then, again, losing on penalties or extra time or something the Thursday after. I hope I'm wrong. It'd be great to get at least one of them into groups. If we got the two of them, that would be amazing. But I think that might be wishful thinking. Right, look, let's go to the BTS hotline before we go this evening. And thanks as ever to everyone that has got in touch with us. Dwayne Doyle, who was a bit upset with me last week, my comments on Rovers' performance against Zurich, I will say, or Shell's performance against Zurich, I will say credit to them. Like, that tie was totally beyond them. They had a big game coming up Monday, but they still went out and put in a really good performance last Thursday and added to the coefficient. So well done to Shell's. He says, the criticism of Shell's after the game last night is way over the top. We were very poor last night. Didn't play well at all, but people need to take into consideration that there are three or four teams with bigger budgets. We've struggled to break down low blocks all season, and we were missing Barrett, Wilson and Boyd. We've only conceded 15 goals this season, and most importantly, we've only lost three games. And Malloy leaving too, Jarvis now leaving. Shells are overachieving a bit. Credit to Duff and this group of players. Thanks for that tweet from Damien Duff.
Wouldn't be in complete disagreement with that. I suppose when you're at the top of the table for so long in the season, you're expecting, you know, that builds its own expectation, does it not? Like, you're looking for the team at the top of the table to be setting down the marker and setting the stall out for the standard of the league. A lot of talk about how poor quality the game was. I thought Derry brought more quality than Shells for the most part. I know I've been hard on Sam Bone, as I have been before, but I think I'm right there. I thought he would say Mark Conley was a far better QB than Sam Bone was.
Please don't use that term. I hate it.
But
that's my relegation dogfight.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, I hate when commentators go on about quarterbacks in football. It's not a thing. It never will be. Please stop.
I think I might have said that in commentary last night. But that's what was happening. It was just pass Mark Connolly the ball and he'll kick it. But yeah, look, I think that's fair enough. I don't want to hear about the hard luck story or the budgets or anything like that. They're still at the top of the table. Overachieving, yes, but that you still have the expectation on you as the league leaders, so... Don't hear about budgets at this part time of the season.
We found out that Dwayne Doyle is just Duffer's burner account. thanks to Dwayne, though. LFC Sammy, and again, it's not about the food. Thank God. I think we've got away with that one, guys. I think if Dwayne thinks the Shells have been hammered, wait till you hear this from Sam. I think Higgins should be sacked, considering how good that Derry squad is. If Rovers were to have a year off like they're currently having, and Derry should have walked it. Shells are a good unit and well coached. Should probably be a year off winning the league, more down to Derry bottling it.
Well, if you combine that with Dwayne's estimation of Shells, they were overachieving. So by that, you know, Shells have been obviously dug out by Rovers being poor and having that off season.
But I don't want to take away from Shells. I think we all agree Shells have overachieved, and like I keep on saying it, that they're way further on in their arc than they should be.
Yeah.
Whereas I think we all agree that Derry have flatlined. Now they could still go and win the league.
Well, have they plateaued? Or flatline means dead.
Right.
They've just plateaued, have they?
They're not dead yet, but they'll be in big trouble if they don't win the league this season, I think. Right, Pat Mitchell, not a Cork fan, but before the inevitable pile-on comes Clancy's way, I think it should be noted that his two main points from last week are still true, and you did say that, Gary. Despite Cork signing Keating and Maguire, the current wage inflation probably isn't sustainable for clubs that won't make Europe. His other point that Cork can't compete with wages being offered in the Premier Division is probably still true. Their two signings were players that had personal reasons for wanting to sign for Cork and really don't seem to be cases that Cork offered more money.
Right.
A level of fairness in that, I think. But it's still funny. Come on, like, we can't not jump on this from Tim Clancy.
Yeah, no, it's completely true.
When are Cork playing Longford? I just have to look that up. I can't wait for that game.
September, I think.
Just be there waiting with the LOI TV microphone. Well, Tim, welcome to Longford. What were you saying about wages?
No, it's in Turner's Cross.
Oh, I'm not going down there for that. Never mind. He's got away with it. Do a Zoom virtual. Well, you get on one of them Cork pressers one day, Aaron Howie, and let me in.
Yeah. I don't really... I'm not really 100% sure if that's, you know, is Sean Maguire that wedded to Cork City? He was there for two seasons. He scored a bag of goals.
He has a gaff in Cork.
Does he, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
No, I think there's...
Come on.
I agree with what Pat is saying, but as I said, it's just there. You've said it now, so it's going to go out there into the League of Ireland universe. Jer, lads, that Clancy comment is aging like milk left out in the sun. Can't wait until you interview him next time. Yeah, it'd be great to get him on the pod at some stage. Anna, rank all the...
Jesus.
I don't... MFD, Men's First Division. When has that been a thing, MFD? Rank all the First Division captains from worst to better. Anna, it's 11:30 at night.
Come on now.
I'll scribble something down on a page one day, but no offense, I'm not doing that now.
Elon Musty, most random big name League of Ireland signing ever. I think we kind of did this one before. Like, Gillespie is hard to get away from, isn't it?
Gillespie was a surprise, yeah. But he was playing in...
Yeah, he was playing for Glen Torren before he signed for the town. It was still random.
Yeah, it was random. How did that happen? It was probably... I can't really think of any just right now. Mm. Any for yourself?
No. Gillespie's definitely the one for me.
It's the easy one for us as well.
Yeah.
Question answered.
Again, it's 11:30 at night.
That's our own fault, by the way.
Yeah. But no, look, that is Series 8, Episode 24 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. We've covered a lot of good ground, I would say. Again, thanks to Derry, the lads in Derry, the Drive 105 lads, for giving us that audio with Higgins and Maher. Best luck to Pats and Rovers. I know people don't like us saying that at times, but... yeah, best of luck to Pats and Rovers in Europe tomorrow night. We'll be back next week to react to those European games and, of course, everything that happens in the League of Ireland. And as we all know, that could be absolutely anything. So until next week, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.